Hello and welcome to chapter 2 of Service Marketing. In the second chapter, we will talk about marketing research. Now, research is important whether it comes to product marketing or service marketing. You want to really understand who your customers are, who your competitors are, and what could be the ideal price that you should quote for whatever you are selling, services or products. So let's discuss marketing research in depth in chapter 2 of service marketing. So now, marketing research is a function of marketing which helps the marketing team to be abreast with the changes in the market. Now, this is not a one-time activity. Research obviously has to happen when you decide to start a new company. You want to really understand the market, the competition, the customer, and the customer's expectations before you really launch and get into business. But even while you are in business, you want to keep updating yourself to understand the changes in, again, the market, the competition, and the customer expectations. So research is an ongoing activity, not something that you would do every day, but something that you would do periodically. And companies who are big enough, who have the resources, the budget, the time, and the know-how can choose to conduct their own research based on primary data, which is always better. But smaller companies who do not have the resources, a 2-member team or a 5-member team or a 10-member team or even a 100-member team, do not have resources skilled in research, then you go on to agencies or you rely on secondary data to do and understand your customer, your competition, and your market. But research is something that's an ongoing. You do it before you get into business, and you keep doing it as long as you are in business. So the market or the environment that the research completes or covers consists of customers. So who are your customer? Who buys from you? Who's your primary customer? Who's your secondary customer? Who could be the influencer? Then the competitors, your existing competitors, competitors that may enter, the new ones, new startups, or even other relevant or related industries that could affect your business. For example, smartphones have now become a competitor for digital camera as an industry. So they're not a direct competition, but now they've become a competition. So you have to really consider all sorts of competition. Then suppliers, who is a supplier to you? Manpower supplier, raw material supplier, and who are your distributors? So how do you sell to your customer? Even service businesses have distributors, right? But an insurance company would have the insurance sellers, the third-party insurance sellers. So who are your distributors? So the market research is an environment that consists of number one, customers, number two, competitors, number three, suppliers, and number four, distributors. So marketing research in a service industry is primarily used to provide information needed to guide decisions which would facilitate the right marketing mix. And in service marketing, there are 7 P's of marketing, right? You would have heard of the 5 P's of product marketing, which is product, place, price, promotion, people. Add another 2, physical evidence and processes, that make the 7 P's of service marketing. Product, place, price, promotion, people, physical evidence, and processes. So these are the 7 P's of service marketing. Now, let's talk about segmentation. Now, you need to have and maintain a segmentation of customers because you really want to target the right segment of customers with your marketing campaigns. So segmentation of customers is a critical part of your marketing research. It helps the marketing team to better understand the need of various segments of customers. For example, we've discussed about Baijus as an example. Now, Baijus would need to segment its customers as customers who are sending their kids to the most modern schools in, say, a city like Mumbai or Bangalore, to a segment of parents in tier 3 cities sending their kids to maybe government schools or municipal schools. Now, every kid and every parent wants their kid to have access to the best of education, and online education apps is on the agenda for every parent. But these two are different customer segments. Again, Baiju's could segment its customers in terms of the earning potential or the location, as I said, people going to an ICSE school, an IGSE school, a CBSE school, or a state board. So this is just one example of segmentation. So every industry, irrespective of what service or what products, to be able to get down to the right research, needs to segment its customers into groups and then go ahead with the marketing inputs and insights. Then the marketing team would like to understand the following of the customers. First, who is my customer and where do they live? So who do you really sell to? You need to understand that. For example, if you are only selling to customers within a certain geography, then your marketing campaign, budget, resources, channels have all to be focused only on that limited geography, right? For example, if you decide to market your service business online and you want to choose, for example, search engine optimization or search engine marketing, so Google Ads or PPC ads, what do you choose as geography and target customers? So you need to know who is your customer and where do they live, because now online marketing lets you choose customers based on their interests. For example, you could only choose to target people who are avid online shoppers, or you could only choose to target customers who are frequent travelers, or you could only choose to target customers who are parents, who are married, or who use credit card for online shopping. So all this information is available for you to be able to reach out to the right customer with your marketing messaging and campaigns. But for that to happen, you need to know who is your customer, both primary and secondary. Then, what are the characteristics they desire from the service offerings? So what do the customers want from a product? For example, smartphones now primarily talk about the capabilities of the phone camera, because that's what an average consumer wants. They want to click better pictures, sharper images and videos. That's what the customer wants, and that's what the phone manufacturer sells. So that's to a product company. Same would come to a service company. What are the characteristics or the benefits or the values that a customer looks for in a service? Then, are there any specific reasons they are using or plan to use a service? So why would I, for example, choose an online tax filing software? Right, if I am an employee or if I'm a self-employed professional, if I'm looking for tax filing as a service at the end of a financial year, what are the specific reasons? One could be ease of use, definitely an ease of use, and then could be a cost of use. For example, for a person, an individual employee, to go to a chartered accountant, explain to them, furnish documents, would cost both time and money. That may be the reason why somebody would look for an online tax filing software as a service. So you need to understand what are the specific reasons a customer is using or plans to use a service. Then, how big is the market? How many prospective customers or buyers are available to buy? That gives you economies of scale. That lets you forecast your sales revenue and then take a decision whether it even makes sense to launch this service as a business. And then where is the service to be marketed? As I said, do you need to market it only within Mumbai or within Bangalore or within Delhi? Or you need to market, for example, within a state, Maharashtra or Karnataka or Bihar? Or you need to market it nationally or even internationally? You need to understand where do you want to reach out and where do your customers live. Then let's come on to online research. Now, online research, as I said, because of the availability and penetration of internet and devices like smartphones and laptops and tablets, online research has become more prevalent, and it has many reasons why companies may choose to do online research compared to offline research. First is accessibility. Now, India is in today's time, second in terms of active internet users. So over 47% of the Indian population have access to the internet. So technically speaking, on a very broad level, when you do an online research, potentially you could reach 47% or half the population of the country. If you were to do the same offline physically, imagine the time, the number of resources it would take for you to cover 50% of the Indian population. Think about vaccine rollout. Now, vaccines had to be rolled out physically. So look at the amount of time it would take, or even population census, right? Or voting. Now, you have to physically reach the entire country. So the time that it takes to reach half the population of the country in an offline method compared to online. Simultaneously, you could send out notifications, emails, messages to 47% of Indians who are active on the internet. So online research makes it more accessible. And hence, companies who need to access a large base have the option to conduct online research. You may have experienced, there are people representing product companies or service companies that you would meet outside malls or outside fuel stations who would have small questionnaires that you would be asked to fill. Now imagine the number of people that every representative would meet in a day, and they will have to fill out physical questionnaires. Then that goes into a central location and they're converted digitally to extract insights from all the forms collected. Compare that with online. You may have received online surveys from Google, Facebook, and other services that you use. So you fill those surveys, those research forms online, and all the inputs can be electronically combined together, collated, and insights could be produced instantaneously, real time. That's why online research is preferred by companies for market research, especially when they have to reach a larger audience. And then speed, as we've discussed, the amount of time that it would take to physically reach a larger population, collect their feedback on physical forms, bring it back to a central location or depots, and then convert them, combine them, collate them, and get insights takes a lot of time, weeks or even months. Online could happen within a day, within even hours, and that keeps updating real time as every single user fills up an online form or online questionnaire. So accessibility and speed. And then collection, analysis, and presentation. This happens real time for online research. Online research enables a faster collection of data, its analysis and presentation. More importantly, it can keep on getting updated. That does not happen with physical offline research. New automated research techniques and programs help market research to become more effective and more efficient by organizing data and quickly comparing older studies with newer ones to detect any possible market trends that may have changed over time. So this could be quick, this could be real time. And then it also becomes inexpensive. As I said, to reach out 47% or half the Indian population, you will have to send manpower to every state, every city. Imagine the logistics, the transportation, the hotel, the food expenses, and the manpower salary expenses to cover even anywhere close to half of the country's population. Online, that does not have to happen. You could sit in one single central office and send out questions, surveys, over email or web notifications to any person that you want, given that you have access to the person's data. So minimal resources are required to conduct online and web research. Besides, it's always, always less costly compared to physical or offline market research. So let's now move on to the objectives of marketing research. As we said, why does a company want to do marketing research? It makes sense when you want to get into business and when you want to stay in business and keep on getting better, better, and more competitive. So first, it is to identify customer requirements or expectations from the services offered. So as I said, what does a customer look for example, in an online tax filing software as a service? Or what does a customer look for when he goes on to book a travel package online? So if you are an aggregator of travel services, hotels, airlines, resorts, what does a prospective customer look for on an aggregator website? Ease of use, multiple options, easily accessible information to make an itinerary, the cost again. So what does your customer look for? Then marketing research is done to determine the customer expectations from a new service and to be able to forecast future expectations of customers. Now, customer expectations are not constant. They keep on evolving, as in when companies keep on providing certain level of services, benefits, and features, and customers get used to those features, they want an upgrade. So marketing research helps businesses forecast what could be the future expectations of customers. Then number four, it is to understand what and where are the gaps in the existing service being delivered with regards to customer expectations and perceptions. So again, going back to the same example, if today you are planning to launch a new online tax filing software as a service, you would go on and you would do market research to understand the gaps and the limitations of existing service providers, for example, like ClearTax, or even the government website to file your online tax. You would want to see what are the difficulties, challenges that an individual customer has to face when he or she uses the already available online systems and software to file his or her income tax returns. And as a new service provider, you would want to fill in those gaps and then reach out to the customers with a better version of already available products or services in the market. Then you also want to identify the dissatisfied customers. Who are the customers who are dissatisfied with the service that they are receiving today? For example, if you want to launch an online food delivery app, you want to understand what it is about Zomato or Swiggy that their users are dissatisfied about. And you want to address the reason for that dissatisfaction to lure customers from Zomato or Swiggy and start using your app. That's again something that you can get from doing marketing research. Then number six, you want to be able to recommend the most suitable distribution methods. So how can you reach out to a prospective service users? Is online advertising the best method, or would you need channel partners, distributors, local influencers to go and talk to customers and sell your services? For any service sector, the subsectors, what is the best distribution method for services? For example, we'll talk about Baijus again. Baijus tested hiring franchise partners in local cities who would then go meet parents. That did not work out for them. So then they moved it centrally and they hired employees instead who were in direct control of the company management. So you need to understand what distribution method works best for your sector, your industry, and your target customers. Let's understand now the advantages of marketing research. First, as we've already been talking about, that you need to understand the customer, the competition, and the trends. So advantages could be number one, it helps in understanding the present and the future trends of the service industry. You want to get into a business and you want to stay into a business that has a positive increasing trend of consumption in the future. You don't want to be into a business that may or may not exist in the coming 5 years. Then the research helps you in getting an insight into your competitors, their strengths, their gaps, their strategy. So you could launch services that could address those gaps and dissatisfiers for your target customers. It also helps you identify the gaps as we discussed. And then it helps in understanding, most importantly, the expectations and delivery standards of your customers, of your buyers. And research helps you minimize the risk factor in marketing of the services, because now you understand, based on research, that what is the best channel, best method to reach out to somebody who could be a prospective buyer. So you can waste less resources, money, time in advertising and marketing your service business. And research also helps you in developing a new service, because now you understand what a customer is looking for in a particular service. So you could develop your service accordingly to address the exact needs and specifications of a customer. Then you also get to know whether there is a demand for services which is being planned to offer. You need to quantify the demand. That lets you understand the revenue potential of a new service business or even an existing business. You're able to forecast what could be the revenue, the market size, and the market share for you as a service provider. Then, are there any other companies or competitors who are offering the same kind of services? This is because you study your competitors. So, who are the other players who are offering similar or better or closely related services to your target customers? And what is the price that they are offering their services at? You need to be competitive enough. If your services are of equal value, your prices have to be in a close range. So you need to understand how your competitors are pricing their products. For example, Zomato would like to understand, and they would want to know, how much does Swiggy charge per food delivery? A ClearTax, an online tax filing software system, would need to understand how much are other such online portals charging employees or individuals for every tax return file. If one company is charging 500 rupees per tax return, another company cannot charge 2000 rupees for the same service. You cannot have a disparity of that scale. So it's also important to know what is the price that they are charging and what is the price that the customer is willing to pay for that service. Then, what should be the target market? This is important, as we've already said, that you need to really know who your customers are. And when it comes to customers, you need to understand both a primary customer and a secondary customer. For example, when it came to Byju's as an example, the primary customer is the user, the child, who would be using the application on a smartphone or a tablet. The secondary customer is the parent who is going to pay for that product. So Byju's, through its advertising marketing, needs to target both the customer, the child, and the parent, and the campaigns, the messaging would be different. It can't be the same. And then, what should be the geographical areas which my services should cover? Now, not all businesses, all services are unanimous that can be rolled out to an entire population, be it a country or the globe. Some services could be geographically restricted. So you need to understand what could be the reach geographically for the services that you are planning to offer to your customers. Then, coming to the expectations of a marketing manager from marketing research. Now, a marketing manager or a marketing director or a marketing executive is somebody who would be planning the entire marketing campaign for the company. Where to spend, how to spend, the messaging, the mode, would they be using more videos, more audio, more text, emails? So what would be the form of marketing? And all that information decision depends on the insights the manager or the marketing head or the chief marketing officer would get from the marketing research team. So first is, as we've already been discussing, who are the potential customers and how big is the market? Until unless a marketing manager or a CMO understands this fundamental, they would not be able to plan their marketing campaigns. For example, if they're launching an agricultural app for farmers, the messaging has to be very different than what it would be for a tax filing software for white collar employees. The target customers are very different. The channels, the messaging, the medium would also be very different for these two service businesses. Then, what are the customer expectations? What do customers expect from that service. Farmers, for example, would need real-time insights and forecast for weather. They would need real-time insights and trends for market price of the crops that they are producing. So that's what they are expecting easily, accurately, when they use an app. So can the company provide that? Then what kind of opportunities exist which can be leveraged? So what could be the next version of your product, the next feature that you can introduce for your subscribers or your users? And then the reasons why a customer chooses a specific service over another. So do I use both Ola and Uber? Do I use both Swiggy and Zomato? Do I use both Airtel and Vodafone? Or do I pick one of these? And if I do pick one of these, what's the reason for me to pick one service provider over another? The marketing manager or the CMO needs to understand this customer behavior. Then they would need to know who are the current players in the market, their background and their offerings. So how are they satisfying their customer needs? And then how can you beat them in their game? To be able to do that, you need to first understand their game, and that's where research plays the most important part. And then what is the unique selling proposition or value proposition of each of your competitors? So these are various expectations a marketing manager or a CMO would have from the marketing research. And to provide these inputs, how does the marketing research team collect data? So let's look at the data collection methods. First, it's important to understand what is a marketing challenge that or the need of research, which we've discussed. Now, subsequently, the data collection method can be decided to ensure that all the concerned are on the same page, which will ensure the collection of quality data. Once you know who your customers are, the research should cover only that segment of your customer, because any inputs received from somebody or someone or some group that is not going to be your customer is not going to help you plan your service marketing. So collection of quality data becomes important. Data then has to be reliable. It has to be fresh. It can't be maybe from 5 years ago. That data would not be relevant today to be able to plan marketing for a service. Data has to then be accurate. It can't be inaccurate. It can't be incomplete. So as we say in statistical methods, a data has to pass a QCAR test. So it has to be collectible. It has to be usable. It has integrity. Integrity means the data has to be complete. It can't be in different formats. Some cells blank, some would have input fields in different formats. For example, date formats in a spreadsheet have to be in the same formatting. Every customer's first name has to be there. If you're looking at email to reach out to customer, the email field has to be filled in for every customer. It can't be blank for some. That is what we mean by integrity. Then K stands for knowledgeable. The person collecting the data, the person using the data need to have the ready and relevant knowledge to collect and understand the data, and then it has to be actionable. You need data which lets you take certain decisions. So QCAR is a test that you would do on data collection. So now there are two methods to produce data. First is primary, and then you have secondary. Primary data, as we discussed, is a research that you do yourself. So if you have the time, money, resources, budget, you conduct your own research. You reach out to your existing users or prospective new users. You run online campaigns or you do offline surveys. You reach out to your prospective customers and you collect your own first party data or primary data. Secondary data is what is available externally. Now, there are research companies who do industry level researches. For example, there would be research companies who would do research on, for example, the education technology market in India. Now, that data could be used by Byju's, could be used by An Academy, could be used by White Hat and other such edtech companies. But that data is produced externally by a third party, which is being used by all these companies. That's a secondary source of data, a secondary data. So it would have some data points, some customer segments that are not relevant to each of these companies. But since it is easier to purchase secondary data that is already available, it solves the speed issue. Hence, companies are willing to rely on secondary source for some decision making. But to be able to more thorough data analysis and only covering your target market, you need to work on primary data. So what you want to use depends upon the time and the budget constraints, whether you want to go with primary data or you want to rely on externally available secondary data for decision making for your service marketing requirements. So as I said, data collection methods could be two, primary and secondary. Primary is something that you do it yourself, you run your own surveys, your own teams are involved, you plan who to reach out to ask questions and get insights. Secondary are external parties, either who have already done a research or who you would hire and give a mandate to do a broad research for your business's marketing requirements. So now we'll move on to something else, which is known as motivational research. So technically, what is the motivation? So motivational research is a type of research that attempts to explain why customers behave as they do. Now, just like services, this is intangible. This is behavioral. You need to understand the behavior of customers, why they behave in a certain way. For example, a customer may not be able to answer why or he, she prefers one service over another. For example, I've been using Vodafone. So now why have I been using Vodafone over Airtel? Today, if you ask me, I've been a 12, 15 year old customer of Vodafone, I will not be able to answer to you why I use Vodafone over Airtel. To get that insight from me, you need to break down your question and answer me vague questions, related questions, to get into the reasons of why I chose Vodafone and why I have been sticking to Vodafone and not switching over to Airtel or Jio or any other provider. So customers sometimes are not able to answer why they have preferred one service over another. So why they behave in a certain way? What has been their motivation to choose one company over another? Now, motivational research attempts to understand this behavior and it tries to get information on the why through indirect questions. So if you directly ask me why I use Vodafone over Airtel, I may not have an answer. But if you use indirect questions, did you get a network where you were living 12 years earlier? Did that area, that place, that location, was the Vodafone network better than Airtel? Or was going to a Vodafone store easier for me compared to an Airtel store? So you would have to frame indirect questions, multiple questions, and analyze my answers to each to understand whether it was network coverage in the certain part of the city, or was it easier access to a Vodafone store or a Vodafone SIM seller, or did a Vodafone representative come directly to where I lived or where I worked to sell me a new connection? And then you will be able to connect the dots of what prompted me to opt for a Vodafone SIM or a Vodafone connection. I may not have been able to give you a direct answer, but by asking me indirect questions, multiple questions, you would be able to recreate or simulate the scenario where I would have made a decision to go with one service provider over another. So motivational research would help you identify the why a consumer is influenced to make a purchase decision in favor of one company over another. So now we come to preparing the research report and the importance of preparing the research report. When I spoke about data passing the cue card test, it had to be actionable. So until unless the research report is presented in a way where the marketing manager, the CMO, or the founder, or the business owner is able to derive insights actionable insights, there is no reason to do the entire exercise. So the research report is supposed to communicate the result or output of the entire exercise. Give actionable insights to the business decision makers. The research report should be able to share with the audience the approach that was adopted for the research, how the sampling was done, how they framed the questions, how they reached out to the target customers, the method used, the target customer segment, the why and why not, and the information on the market, the trends, the competition. All these information and insights need to be available in the research report. So the research report, if we talk about, would have the following limitations. One, data accuracy. Data has to be accurate. You cannot make business decisions where you're trying to understand and decide what you need to do as a business based on inaccurate data. So the first thing, data has to be accurate. Then comes sampling. How did you do sampling? Now, why do we do sampling? Now, suppose if I have, again, if I'm a telecom operator, if I'm a Byju's, then I have millions of people who are prospective customers. So if I want to do any research, I cannot reach out to millions of people, right? I cannot reach out to 47% of India's population, as we said, whether it's online or offline. So I need to pick up a sample of that population, a sample that would be large enough, accurate enough, and representative enough of the entire population. So how was sampling done? For example, you may have heard of exit polls, how exit polls are used to predict the outcome of the overall elections. So exit polls are done on a sample population, and the accuracy of the exit polls, as you would have seen, some exit polls are more accurate. The accuracy depends upon the sampling. So data accuracy, then sampling, then time consuming. How much time is it going to take? For example, if I want to cover, for example, 10,000 people for my market research, but if that's going to take maybe 15 days, and if I do it with 6,000 people and I can do it in 7 days, at times we are pressed for time. So if a sample of 6,000 is a slightly lower in accuracy and confidence level compared to 10,000, we could take a conscious business decision to save on time. Okay, let's go with 6,000 people and not 10,000. So time consuming. Then the researchers, who all are going to be involved in the marketing research activity. And then the inability to predict consumer behavior. This may happen despite the best of efforts, the best of planning. There may be reasons that you are not able to accurately or sometimes even be close to predicting the actual consumer behavior. So these are some limitations of a market research report that you must be aware of. So this chapter, the chapter 2 of service marketing, covered the planning, the different modes, methods, the benefits and challenges of conducting marketing research before you start planning your service marketing strategy. Thank you.